The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 545. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight, I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Manjoma.
What up, what up?
All right, guys, we're back. No Adam action. Chris may join us. Brett may join us, but... we'll see what happens, you know. Very interesting week in gaming. I wouldn't say anything like major. Hey, there, see, speak of the devil, he shall appear. There's Chris. Say what's up to the people, Chris.
What's up, people? How's
it? Yeah. I'll take
that one. I'll steal it.
I'll steal it. There you go. quick shout outs, you know, to Mickey holding it down. Barry Burton, as always. And Chris G, otherwise known as the voice of God, people. Joining us in the chat. What's going on, man? I got to hit you up, bro. Something's happening this weekend, and maybe you want to come down. Anyway, we're back. Again, like I was going to say, there's no real unifying theme this week. Like, a bunch of interesting things happen. I would actually say a lot of interesting things happen, but nothing megatonish. But it was enough that I had to cut some stuff out. We even had a segment on Battlefield here, but no Adam, no Battlefield. Unless somebody feels strongly about Battlefield, we could quickly talk about that.
I want to talk about the Battlefield.
Yeah, I am. There's a word for I'm disinterested. That's not indifferent. That's the word I'm looking for. I'm indifferent towards Battlefield, but if somebody wants to talk about it, I'm down. You know. All right, man. So let's get into it. Let's kick things off with the Nintendo Direct that happened this week. By the way, I got to say this about the, not about the Nintendo Direct, but what happened prior to this. A well-known quote-unquote leaker said that this was going to happen this week. And then, you know, this did happen. And then all of a sudden, oh my God, look how correct he is. It's like, you realize this guy has the overall bad track record. This was literally one of those moments where you throw shit at a wall and see if it sticks. And it stuck. You know, because somebody else did their proper duty and checked, like, oh, yeah, this guy was wrong about all this other stuff. This same guy apparently said that Red Dead Redemption 2 was going to be announced during this thing. Okay, you know, and there was going to be a Red Dead Redemption 2 next gen port announced today. I didn't see that, you know. Anyway, let's get into it. So I'm reading this off of Nintendo Life. And based, because I saw RGT85's video on this, and this seems to be the correct order. I went to IGN. Their order was all crazy, as always, you know, because IGN, they listed into, you know, top priority, like, whatever. But it's like, no, we want to do it in the order that people saw it. Anyway, let's get into it, man. So we got kicked things off here with Monster Hunter Stories 3, not to be confused with regular Monster Hunter. This is more like a RPG type offshoot series. I'm surprised they have three of these motherfuckers already. Must be doing pretty well, you know.
Well, yeah, those were all released in Japan.
Yeah, Monster Hunter games. I believe we have them here. Yes, they have them here.
I got the first one.
Mm-hmm. They got them here too.
It's just those Monster Hunter story games initially were like DS games. Like the early ones were not released here in the States until later.
Yeah, but the point is they are available in the States. Yeah,
now they are.
Yeah. You know, graphically it looks nice, you know, some anime stuff going on.
They did a lot of work on them because they, you know, again, they started off as like handheld games on the DS and stuff like
that. Yeah. What, wasn't this one brand new though?
No, does it have the last one is new, but the other two are old games. That's why there's three.
Yeah. Let's look this up because I don't want to start giving people false stuff here. But regardless, this looks pretty nice, but not really my thing. All right, so Looks like the latest one may have been
like Grown Man Monster Hunter.
I want that Grown Man Monster Hunter. Yeah. It looks like this is a brand new game. It's not like a remake or anything, which is good. So yeah, if you're interested, that's dropping. Do we have release dates here? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're talking about dropping next year. I'm specifically talking about the third one that got announced today. Yo, man, you're confusing me. All right, so there you go. There's that. Next up, we got Once Upon a Katamari, another Katamari Damacy game. I guess it's cool that this series is still around.
Kristen was very excited at that announcement. Nice. She thought the franchise was dead.
Yeah. When was the last game released? I'm curious. Because I remember one being announced, not super long ago, but long ago enough, you know?
Maybe 8-9 years ago?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it was a long time
ago. But even when that one got announced, Chris was like, oh, shit, they're bringing it back, you know? So, you're right. The last one was, I don't know if there's a remake. We Love Katamari Reroll. That sounds like a remake to me.
That was a remake.
Yeah, Katamari Reroll. There you go, 2018. That was the last one. Crazy. All right, so if you're a Katamari fan, there you go, like Kristen. Shout out to Kristen. Next up, we have Just Dance 2026 edition. Few people don't know this, but it's actually one of Ubisoft's most profitable franchises. That's why they keep making them, you know? Remember at E3 years ago, this huge booth, you know? So there you go. That's dropping sometime. I don't know when the hell it's dropping. Here they do give you release dates. Shout out to Nintendo Life here. This year it's October 14th. And Katamari's dropping October 24th. I forgot to say this earlier. This whole showcase was nothing but third party. So, if you're waiting for more updates on first party, this wasn't it, you know? Dumeka says that section went too long. I'm assuming the Just Dance section. Yeah, it's a big franchise for them, you know. Next we have Sparking Zero Dragon Ball game that's finally coming to Switch. I know some people want to consider a fighting game. It's not a fighting game. But there you go. It's on
not
Switch.
Real. Not real.
It's not real. I don't know if they have crossplay. Then again, I don't even know if the current one has crossplay either, so not sure. But there you go. If you like Dragon Ball, and that's dropping November 14th this year. Next up, we got Plants vs. Zombies Replanted. That probably lets me know that this is probably a remake. It's a remaster of the original Plants vs. Zombies, which is actually a pretty fun game, I must admit. So that's dropping October 23rd. If Adam was here, he'd be hyped. EA Sports FC 26, that's dropping September 26th. So if you like your formerly known as FIFA, there you go. It's fucking soccer, Arriaga, Arriaga 2, Barriaga, Aruglia, and Big Sutsa. So there you go. When is that drop? Yeah, it is kind of interesting to see actual real sports games on Switch now, you know. Jeffrey, what's going on, brother? Jeffrey Wilson coming to us live from Las Vegas. You know, my man's living Vegas. It up, during living that evil life right now.
Man, I would have been nice to go visit.
I
couldn't get the table situation squared away.
And I couldn't afford it. So we both got screwed, you know? Hopefully next year. Jeffrey's already giving me some insider stuff, so.
You're making you some insider.
That's a real insider, you know. By the way, my insiders have a perfect track record. It's just, they don't announce shit on Twitter, you know.
They're not announcing things on Twitter for fucking clout.
Yeah, man. All right, so next up we got Pac-Man World 2 Repack, which lets me know this is probably another remake or remaster. Oh, yeah. Man, I'm sensing a theme here.
Was that a Switch game?
It probably was.
I remember there being like a, but I don't when it was.
Yeah, because I don't remember either. It says Pac-Man World 2 Returns, now modernized, enhanced, and upgraded. So it is a remake. Interesting. Yes. So there you go. September 26th is dropping. Next, we have Final Fantasy Tactics, The Ivalice Chronicles. So we already saw this announced at another show earlier this year, if I remember correctly. But it's coming to Switch. And I think that's a good fit. I know we saw this at a show. Probably Summer Game Fest or something. So that's cool.
Summer Lame Fest, you mean?
Oh, excuse me? September 30th, that's dropping. Persona 3 Reload coming to the Switch. So Switch is getting some Persona love. October 23rd for this one. Hyrule Warriors Age of Imprisonment. I will say the graphics on this look very nice. Looks very much like Tears of the Kingdom type of graphics.
It's interesting about this game.
Yeah.
This is the only Hyrule Warriors that they say is canon to the two games, Breath of the Wild and So they're saying this game fills in when when Zelda goes back in time, imprisoning war. This is supposed to fill in that time that you don't see from Tears of the Kingdom. So that's interesting because the other two games, they said, were not canon. They were alternate timelines.
That is interesting. Like I said, this game looks really nice. So there you go. I wonder if Riku's hyped for this. He doesn't even have a Switch. hey, there's Brett. What's going on, dude?
Nothing.
All right. So, yeah, I'm just quickly going over the Nintendo Direct that happened. I think it was this morning. All right. Next up, we have Madden. Madden is on Switch. When the hell was the last time a Madden game was on Nintendo? Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
It's been so long, man.
Yeah. So there you go. That's dropping August 14th, which is like 2 weeks from now.
Man, we need Adam here. He'd be like, FC and Madden, is it.
This is it. This is the one. all right, here we go. The game of the show, Chilling by the Fire. It's literally a marshmallow roasting simulator or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Boy. That's the way you do it.
Like, Jesus. Like, roast you could
have marshmallows.
Like, you could actually, put your face, you know, you could have used the Nintendo camera and, like, roast. It's so weird. Even to make a big Nintendo fan, he's like, this is dumb. There you go, man. All right, so we can skip that. Next, Adam will not be happy about this because he blames this game for the fate of the state of Titanfall. Apex Legends is coming to Switch August 5th, which is next week. My question is, are people still playing this fucking game?
Maybe.
I guess. And again, will it have crossplay? Yeah. All right, so there you go. You got that. You got this other game called Hella. I have to say this about Hella. It's like a mouse simulator game. I'm kind of being facetious here. The graphics look really nice, man. These kind of like natural landscapes and shit. Like, it's interesting. Like, the animals are stylized, but the environments are like almost hyper realistic, you know? Not my type of game, but...
Would you say it's hella nice?
Yes, it is hella nice. So that's dropping just 2026. And here we go. Okay, nobody liked this game, but they're putting, I guess, you know, Ubisoft's like, just put our trash on Nintendo Switch. Star Wars Outlaws. Like, why? Like, Chris, what Nintendo fan is eager to play this shit?
Yeah, right? It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
It's my favorite game. We can play that game.
To drop into September 4th, just skip it. You don't need that game. Got another one. So we saw this game at another showcase as well called Chronos. It's kind of like, gives me like Dead Space vibes, but a little bit more psychological. Chris, I don't know if you saw this. Looks pretty interesting.
Is that the Blooper Team game?
It is. Okay, yeah. So that's why it gave me that vibe.
We just saw that on the Xbox thing, and it would showed up before on another thing.
Yeah, so this is not new, but it is coming to Switch, you know?
Yeah, I'm curious about
Jolly Yellow Nerd says, maybe Apex is coming to Switch because no one is playing it. Yeah, maybe. They also announced that Yakuza Kiwami 1 and 2 are coming. Makes sense. They got Zero already on there, so now you got those two games. So you got three fucking Yakuza games in 1 year, you know? So if you're a Nintendo fan, you never played Yakuza, there you go. Got another game here, Goodnight Universe. What the fuck? I don't remember this shit. What is this? Goodnight Universe is a game in which you are a 6-month-old baby developing mysterious psychic powers. That sounds like Franklin Richards.
Franklin?
What you want most is to be loved and accepted by your family. Sounds like developers going through some psychological shit. But a secretive tech corporation wants you for their own. What the fuck is going on here? Let me look at this trailer. What the hell? What is this? A Franklin Richards simulator?
He's going to be making universes, man.
Oh, yeah.
Soon he's going to make Captain America with a giant chest.
So it's a first-person game. You're a baby. You got baby hands. I feel like these type of games come out every other year or so, like baby simulator games. Manny, remember that baby horror game or something?
Yeah, there was the baby horror game. Yeah.
So. Yeah. All right. So there you go. If you're into baby simulators, what the fuck? I missed this one. Yeah, I think we all did. But it's dropping November 11th. Next up, we have NBA Bounce. I don't know what to make of this. Yeah, it's like chibi.
It's like a chibi basketball game. I'm sure it's like going to be like like NBA Jam or something like that.
Maybe. So it looks like the mascots. It says NBA, so I'm assuming some of these are official mascots, not like fake mascots.
No. Yeah, every team pretty much has a mascot, right? So
yeah, but again, yeah, I wouldn't know if these are the actual mascots because I haven't watched basketball since Jordan left, so I don't know. Yeah, you're right. A little bit of the NBA Jam. I mean, what other camera angle are you going to have, right, for a basketball game? All right. So, yeah, if you're into that stuff, there you go. Third-party game, so it may be coming to other platforms. Here you go. Game of the show. Hello Kitty Island Adventure.
Yeah, boy. Let's go.
It's amazing how much, like, Hello Kitty has, like, just endured for decades, you know? But, again, simple character design works. You know?
Yep. Simple characters. I mean, the thing about Sanrio is that, and they're always creating new characters. So,
yeah. So there you go. If you're into Hello Kitty, I don't know if any of our, what's up, bro?
During the South Park episode where, they're talking about, World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Butter says he's going to go home and play his online game, Hello Kitty Island Adventure. Oh. And in 2025, that game actually became a reality.
Wow.
I find endlessly hilarious.
Wait, that's actually real? That's hilarious.
Real? Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Yeah. Like, the joke in South Park precursor is the actual game.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes that happens, right? Remember the whole joke of Entourage was the Aquaman movie. Then they eventually made an Aquaman movie. Not directed by James Cameron, but they made an Aquaman movie. All right, next up we have Romancing Saga 2, Revenge of the Seven. Never play these games, so I have nothing to say here.
Yo, man, you're not romancing that saga?
Yeah. What's up, dude?
That game is phenomenal. That's the game I played last year and I reviewed on PlayStation 5.
Unironically.
Yeah. Yeah, unironically. Yeah. it's from... Oh, so Brett, Jolly Yellow Nerd says... you're referencing an old South Park episode about, World of Warcraft. Yep. There you go. Good stuff. All right. So Rich's game of the show right here, Romancing Saga 2. Here's something some of us on this podcast can get very excited about. Like Richard, I'm being very honest about this. Motherfucking Shinobi, man. Give me this game, bro. Yep. Give me this game.
Absolutely. And by the way,
yeah,
there is a demo out right now on every platform.
Yeah, go check that out. And also go to the Coalition Gaming. Check out Rich's preview. Excellent stuff right there. I'm going to play this shit.
Sure.
Especially since what we've been playing lately, Rich. Oh, Adam showed up. Let's fucking go. I thought you were tired, motherfucker. What happened? See, he drank coffee. Now he's up. You know, imagine if it's one of his kids instead. He's muted right now. all right, let's keep it going here. Borderlands 4 is coming to Switch, which is interesting. I guess that's going to be day and date. We'll see. Adam's already having tech problems. I love it. Another game here. This is a Square Enix game. It's called The Adventures of Elliot. Looks like another one of those like Octopath games, which means it looks very nice. Square Enix, keep making more games like this. If your big Final Fantasy games keep failing, do this stuff. People seem to like them, you know? And speaking about Octopath, we have Octopath Traveler Zero. And that'll be dropping this year, December 4th. basically, you know, it has the same art style as the other games and all that. Looks nice. Looks nice. So, and that was it for the Nintendo Switch Direct. Again, nothing.
Shout out to QL for subscribing.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing spectacular, but, you know, some decent stuff's coming, I guess, for third party. Is there anything there that excited you guys?
No, especially since it's just on the Switch. Yeah. A lot of those games already have access to them on the Steam Deck.
Yeah. And these are all third parties, Carlos, so you could play them somewhere else, you know, when they drop.
Yeah.
Somebody could play them right
exactly.
Now.
Yeah. You can play it right now? What's up, Rich?
I was going to say, well, I'll make that comment in a second.
Uh-oh.
I will make this comment now and just say I was surprised to see the Chronos New Dawn game is coming to Switch because prior to that, they didn't announce the release date. So they announced the release date the same time they announced it was coming to Switch. So I thought that was very interesting. But to answer your original question, Tony.
Yeah.
I think the show was very mid. Very mid. And it showed me why Nintendo, the first party lineup for Nintendo, that's where it's at. You know, some of these other games, I know they have particular people that will like some of these other games, but I didn't see anything today that blew me away that made me feel like I need to buy a Switch too. So that's just my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. But also in being fair, calling a Nintendo Direct mid is actually a compliment because usually these are trash. And but I have to agree with you. It was mid, you know, not great, but not horrible either. You know, look at me being soft on Nintendo, man. What the fuck is going on, bro?
Yeah, this is definitely a sign.
Yeah, it might be, man. That lets you know, man. What's up?
It's because you played a good game out of the box, man.
Yeah, and also you know, a little bit of a hint of what's coming later on the show. I think it's because I'm in line with Kojima right now when it comes to the gaming industry. You know, it's like, hey, if I'm not getting satisfaction from the usual suspects, Nintendo's right there. You know,
Nintendo.
Basically a state of play. Yeah, you could consider that. All right, man, let's move on here. We got to talk about the Xbox financial report here, and I want to give a shout out to The Verge for doing this so we don't have to, because Chris always gets a headache trying to parse this shit, you know? So, Chris, now you're relieved of that. You can do the easy stuff, you know?
Yeah, focus on Sony and Nintendo.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you guys will indulge, I'll give you the cliff note here, and if you want, I can go deeper into it. But so, shout out to Shinobi here on, you know, Twitter. Everybody knows Shinobi. So, here's the quick breakdown of what came out of the report. Xbox, you know, content and services is up 13%. No update on Game Pass subscriptions, though. The last time we got an update on that was like February 2024. Revenue was plus 10% year-on-year profit. Revenue was 10% year-on-year profit unknown. Xbox does not disclose net income. Hardware declined 22%. Yet they're jacking up the price of the consoles. That's going to raise up the percent, isn't it? Six of the top 10 selling games on PlayStation 5 this quarter were published by Microsoft. The games in question, you know, some of them were Doom, Forza Horizon, Minecraft, Call of Duty, etc. So that's the short of it. If you guys want, I could read you a little bit more here from The Verge. So I'll do that. Xbox content and services revenue, which includes Xbox Game Pass, is up by 13% this quarter. Microsoft still isn't revealing any new Game Pass subscriber members, though, and the last time we got an update was in February 2024, when Microsoft revealed that there were 34 million subscribers, including Xbox Game Pass Core, which was previously Xbox Live. Microsoft has been aggressively pushing ahead with its strategy to bring more previously Xbox exclusives to PlayStation and Nintendo Switch over the past year. Senua's Saga Hellblade 2 is coming to PS5 next month, alongside the original Gears of War as a remastered version. Microsoft also launched Forza Horizon 5 on PS5 earlier this year, as well as Age of Empires Definitive Edition, Age of Mythology Retold, and Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. I didn't know Microsoft owned Age of Empires. News to me.
Yeah.
While the move to bring more Xbox games to PlayStation might have angered some fans, oh, we will talk about that. It has proven to be a successful choice. Pre-orders for Indiana Jones and the Great Circle and Forza Horizon 5 topped Sony's own PlayStation store earlier this year. And Circana revealed this week that Microsoft had six of the top 10 selling games on PlayStation in the recent quarter. So this is from, our boy, Satya Nadella. We are now the top publisher on both Xbox and PlayStation this quarter. Game Pass annual revenue was nearly $5 billion for the first time. He also confirmed that Microsoft has 500 million monthly active users across gaming platforms and devices. Microsoft, not Xbox. Very interesting. Xbox hardware is still struggling. Xbox hardware revenue is down 22% this quarter. Despite a busy period for Game Pass, Microsoft increased the price of its Xbox consoles and controllers worldwide in May, with the Series X bumped by $100. Overall, gaming revenue at Microsoft is up 10% year-over-year and has increased by $2 billion for the entire fiscal year. Xbox content and services revenue has also increased by 16% for the fiscal year, but Xbox hardware revenue has decreased by 25% in the fiscal year, in the quote here, driven by lower volume of consoles sold. Yeah, no shit. Microsoft's Xbox Everywhere strategy, which I've been covering closely, Tom Warren here, in my Notepad newsletter over the past year, will also include titles for Nintendo Switch 2. It's possible we might even see one during Nintendo's Switch 2 Partner Direct. We didn't see one. We didn't see that. But see, Tom Warren does it right. He doesn't say we will see one. He goes, we may see one. You know, that's how a real reporter does shit. Like these fucking, you know, influencers or whatever on Twitter. You know, looking ahead, Microsoft is also heading to the Gamescom show next month, where it will let attendees play with its new Xbox handheld devices. You know, the Xbox handle we talk about. A playable demo of the long-awaited Hollow Knight Silk Song will also be available on the ROG Xbox Ally handhelds. That's pretty cool. All right, so there you go. Chris, as our resident analyst here for this stuff, what do you make of this?
I would just ask him. So if your subscriber count is up, your game revenue is up, the only thing that's suffering is your hardware. What justifies your price increase? Mm-hmm. And don't tell me it's market conditions globally, because that's bullshit. And then two, why are you laying off so many people?
Yeah.
That'll be my question. I mean, if you have positive numbers like this across the board and you're... And largely you could attribute that success to what you've been doing so far. Why make such sweeping cuts internally? I don't understand.
Yeah. I don't know if I got to find the story, but basically, here we go. Remember, they laid off 9,000 people, right? And apparently their revenue went up by like billions of dollars after they did that. Very interesting.
I mean, did you just do that so this report would look good?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. But that's a matter for another time. But yeah, there you go. That's how Xbox is doing. I don't really know what to make of it, to be honest. Like, it seems they're making money off, like I said, content and services, but they're not making money off their consoles. But they're also making money from PlayStation games, which is insane, you know? I remember, actually, no. I mean, I don't have this listed here. But Kotaku actually wrote an article about saying that the Xbox, you know, or Xbox Studios or whatever, is actually helping Sony get through its slump because Sony doesn't have shit right now, you know, which is kind of funny. The fans, you know, our fans did not like that story at all, though, for obvious reasons. But yeah, you guys have any other thoughts on this whole, you know, Xbox financial report? Like, whatever, you know. I'm going to assume, Chris, that we're going to get financial reports for the other guys soon, if this dropped, maybe?
So when the second quarter ended, yeah, we should. I'll check Nintendo's site and Sony's sites where their investor relations, they put any updates.
Good stuff. All right, so I teased this, so let's get into it. So obviously, you know, we have a bunch of Xbox games coming to PlayStation, right? But now, right? We're starting to get PlayStation games over on Xbox. We have Helldivers, and that's not going to be the last one. And PlayStation fans aren't happy about that. They're so unhappy about it that they're actually emailing Sony now to stop this. They don't like this at all. And surprisingly, Sony has responded to these emails. The email in question is basically just telling them, it's like, yeah, whatever, bro. You know, but they have responded. They just said, we're listening to you. Anyway, I'm going to read this. This is from PlayStation Lifestyle, I believe. A recent PlayStation job ad ended up ruffling feathers as it suggests that PlayStation 5 first-party games were destined for Xbox, or at least that's how a large portion of the gaming community took it. What followed was somewhat of a firestorm, and now some concerned fans are emailing Sony to inquire about its multi-platform plans. Remember, this is on just, like, nothing confirmed yet. Just the worry that these games are going to come to Xbox, you know? So this is what it says. Insiders have cautioned players against taking the job ad in question out of context. Sony has already said that its first-party single-player games will largely remain exclusive to one console, with some exceptions like LEGO Horizon Adventures, which Sony felt was a good fit for the Nintendo Switch. First-party games will continue to launch on PC at a later date, but live service games are expected to launch on all platforms, including Xbox, starting with Helldivers 2. Nevertheless, players want clarification, and at least one fan received a response from Sony, although it's the most boilerplate text I've ever seen. I'm frankly surprised that Sony even bothered to entertain the email. So this is what Sony said. While we continue to explore new ways to grow and evolve the gaming ecosystem, we are committed to preserving the unique identity that PlayStation represents. As we have in the past, we will always listen to feedback from our community, including valued players like you, and ensure that our decisions are aligned with the experiences you expect from PlayStation. And then the writer says, I think you'll be okay, guys. Oh, man. So yeah, what do we make of this? Like, Sony fans are already like, what the fuck? You know? I don't think it's going to go anywhere. It's like, at the end of the day, these corporations are going to do what they're going to do to make money, and you can't do shit about it, you know, unfortunately. But you can, you know, there are cases where you can do something. That's actually our follow-up story. But yeah, what do you guys think? What's going on, Kuel?
Well, if they're, when you mention it's like, you know, corporations are going to do whatever they want to do to get the money, it's true. Like, people, like, I mean, people should revolt on things that actually matter. Unlike this, it's like, if you're worried about your 5-year-old video games or 2-year-old video games going into another console, and you probably have other things to worry about.
Yeah, but this is the cost they're taking. I think what's happening is they probably see what's happening with Xbox, and they're like, oh, we don't want that. We got to keep our precious exclusives, you know?
What precious exclusives, man? This is the thing with Sony. These motherfuckers haven't released jack shit for the past generation. They're sprinkling things here and there. They're making it seem like third-party exclusives are made from them, and people are eating this shit out. It's like, you should pressure these motherfuckers to make games.
Yeah, right. That's
the insult to the brand. Not that's what's going to take down the Sony empire. Is them not motivating folks to be loyal to their brand, you know, or play their consoles that much. It's that, and not, oh, we're trying to make a profit from selling a 5-year-old game into a competitor's console, where most people don't even buy the games anyways.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just ridiculous, these types of things. I'm glad that I'm not seeing this type of stuff, man. This is stupid.
Yeah. That's funny, man. Sony does what Nintendo don't. Not release games. That's what Tubeke says. But yeah, I pretty much agree with what Carlos said there. It's like, don't you have something better to do, bro? But, you know, shout out to Jay Shep. He actually likes this. He's like, hey, at least Sony fans aren't taking it lying down like Xbox fans. So that's a sentiment shared with some people, you know? I just don't think it's going to go anywhere.
I will say this. If they release like The Last of Us 3 or God of War, Dad of War 3 or something like that day and date on an Xbox, then I would understand that justification, because it's all about the overall tactics of the, you know, the stability of your console and what makes it viable. Then you'll have an inkling of a point. But this, it's a nothing burger, man.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how long this is going to last, you know, but it's not going to change anything in the end, you know. Who else says, what I find funny, if Crap Gamer told these fanboys this was going to happen, LOL, a rare Crap Gamer W. What do you mean by that? What'd I miss? Crap Gamer, by the way, for you guys who don't know, Crap Gamer was an infamous X-Bot. He was the one that kind of like made the line, like Hold the Line popular back when Xbox first started porting its games. And now he's turned heel. You know, he's a Sony pony now, or has been for many, many years. So he told them they were going full multiplat. Oh yeah, he told the PlayStation people that. Now, did he say that when he was a pony or an X-Bot on his buddy's show? I don't know. Who is it, that fucking, what's his name? Leech, or whatever the fuck his name was? Parasite? Mooch. That's his name, Mooch. Oh, man. Oh, just a few weeks ago. All right. Yeah, Crap Gamer, he's a fucking idiot. By the way, inside story. I'm not going to name names, but somebody who is a friend of the podcast, and that we've actually streamed with, who I'm still cool with, even though I haven't heard from him in fucking years, he saw that I was not cool with Crap Gamer, and he's kind of cool with him. And he was like, oh, man, I'm going to make history today. Like, he wanted me and Crap Gamer to reconcile, because Crap Gamer was – he kind of asked him, like, hey, I kind of want to squash things with Tony. You know, can you help facilitate this? I said, no, fuck that guy. I'm not cashing shit with scumbag like that, you know? So that's why that didn't happen. Don't get me wrong. There's other Xbox guys that I had beef with that I made peace with, because they weren't bad people, right? This guy's a fucking grifter, you know? He was on one side, then switched to the other, doing the same shtick just for a different platform. That's not a genuine person, you know? At least the other grim, what happened?
He's the Grim Reaper of brands. Because he was riding the Microsoft coattails, and now it went to shit. Now he's on the Sony coattails. Now that's going to shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, Quell. Me and Jess Corden did not get along, but we hashed it out. Because I don't think, because I know Jess Corden was not coming from a bad place. He's not I know he has his haters, but he's not a grifter, you know? I also made peace with Randall Thor. You know, I had beef with a lot of Xbox guys back in the day. But I made peace with both of them. Most of them. Colt Eastwood was another one I made peace with. Even if I don't agree with everything he still does. But there's other guys that I've had mini beef with, which I'll never reconcile with, like Dreamcast guy. I think he's a scumbag too. I'll say it. I don't give a fuck. He's a scumbag. You know, I would never reconcile with somebody like that, you know, pure grifter. Carlos, that's the name of it. The Crap Curse. That's funny.
It's a crap curse.
The Crap Curse. All right, man. So let's move on here. So this is another movement, and this one I do endorse, wholeheartedly endorse. You know, so, you know, we've talked about how Visa and MasterCard are now like blocking, like, you know, processing payments and shit for adult games. Well, now some gamers are pretty much calling them nonstop, overwhelming the lines in a way, you know, to try to like gum up the works, as it were. I don't know if it's going to work, but I'll read this a little bit, then we'll get into it. This is from Polygon here. In the wake of storefronts like Steam, and Itch.io curbing the sale of adult games, irate fans have started an organized campaign against the payment processors that they believe are responsible for the crackdown. While the movement is still in its early stages, people are mobilizing with an eye towards overwhelming communication lines at companies like Visa and MasterCard in a way that will make the concern impossible to ignore. On social media sites like Reddit and Blue Sky, people are urging one another to get into contact with Visa and MasterCard through emails and phone calls. Visa and MasterCard have become the targets of interest because of the affected storefronts both say that their decisions around adult games were motivated by the danger of losing the ability to use major payment processors while selling games. These payment processors have their own rules regarding usage, but they are vaguely defined, which is true. But losing infrastructure like this could impact audiences well beyond those who care about sex games, spoke people for Valve and Itch.io said. So yeah, basically they're trying to just overwhelm them with so much so people that may actually need real like customer support and shit, like they can't get through, which in turn could impact their business. It's pretty clever because like if you were just to just hit them up on like Twitter or whatever, they're not going to like do anything. They don't care. But if you could actually do something that could affect their bottom line, I say go for it. As we said, MasterCard, he's got fucking have billions and billions of dollars. So fucking do it. This is good, you know? Chris, what do you have to say about this? I know you and I talked about this earlier this week.
Well, I usually don't advocate for brigading, but mm-hmm. in this case, they're such a monopoly and they're abusing their power to such a degree and this that I think this is righteous. Mm-hmm. I should go for it, you know? I'm all for this because there's no way if you don't try to stop this now, they're going to steamroll over every other game. They don't like GTA. They don't like, let's say horror games are next, whatever. Everything's on the table. They get to dictate what we can even purchase, right? So fuck them. I agree with this 100%.
Yeah. I want to read this. This is interesting. The folks applying pressure know that someone at a call center has limited power in a scenario like this one. Typically, agents are equipped to handle standard customer issues like payment fraud or credit card loss. But the point isn't to enact change through a specific phone call. It's to cause enough disruption that the ruckus theoretically starts costing payment processors money. Yeah. Again, we don't know if this will work, but like you said, these guys effectively have a monopoly. So I'm not going to lose any sleep over this. Keep giving them hell, guys. You're doing the Lord's work. This is good.
Unfortunately,
go ahead.
Not to piss on anyone's Cheerios, but what this will do is just force these companies to hire AI robocalls.
If they don't already have them, you know?
Yeah, if they don't already have them, and it's like, damn. Like freaking bots can handle them, which is unfortunate. But yeah.
Yeah,
it sucks.
Like, yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
if I don't, I still don't understand. Like, and you guys are well way more informed than I am. And I think you talked about it last week, but I still don't understand what the motivations are. This in particular, from what I understand.
Oh, the censorship.
It all came from like some ladies in Australia or some moms in Australia that were against this, and then they sort of hijacked that advocate and threw it out themselves overall. But it just doesn't make sense. I threw the tinfoil hat last time.
I'm telling you, you came up with the best theory. I'm with you on this one.
It just doesn't make sense because they lose revenue. Like corporations aren't evangelical. Like I know people say like people bring up that they're advocates for certain causes one way or the other. No, they're advocates for making the most money they can and having the most power and control.
Well, you think that, but you look at the behavior of many companies we've talked about, studios and publishers and whatever. It's like EA should be motivated to make as much money as possible. How could you put out Battlefield 5 or Dragon Age Veilguard or whatever? You know, you just name the thing. And it's like because they're full of ideologues. That's the problem. So it's like, yes, a corporate entity is supposed to be beholden to their shareholders. Their shareholders and investors want them, their bottom line to grow annually and quarterly, right? But that's not what the people internally who are making the products care about. So, you know, within even a huge payment processor like Visa and MasterCard, if they can cause a culture shift just by their monopoly on payment processing, there's people in there probably at high levels that want that, right? They'll force publishers and developers to make the games that they deem acceptable, right? That's the thing. I don't think collective shift's organic. The reason this feels wrong is because this is not like the evangelicals in the 90s talking about, oh, we need educational television, stop showing cartoons and Pokemon's the devil and all this stuff. This is not that. That was organic. I don't think this is organic. I think there's ideologues inside these payment processors, the card, who want a culture shift and they're forcing it, right? That's what I think.
I don't, it's going to divulge into a rabbit hole. I don't think that's it. I mean, even with the whole Ubisoft stuff, like obviously there was culture stuff involved in it, but I think the motivations were more they thought that stuff would sell, and they were obviously wrong. But with the whole thing with Visa and MasterCard, it's like they're two competitors essentially. I don't think they're the same company.
No, they're not.
I don't know why they lockstep at the same time to do this. There's a freaking conspiracy theory to be found in this, and someone I tried my best last week. You know, I'm handing down the tinfoil hat like Shanks did to Luffy with a straw hat. Someone needs to find this out.
Yeah, because the thing is, and you know, Chris, you said this, and I agree. I don't think Collective Shout is even real. You know, I think they're not, or they're not organic. You know, they're a focal point people could focus on, while the real people behind the shit do their thing in the background.
Turning the frogs gay.
Yeah, I mean, listen, man. Sometimes you get shit right, you know. Alex Jones, give me that tinfoil hat, brother. You know. By the way, if you, for you guys who may not have heard, Carlos's conspiracy theory, which I kind of am now subscribing to, because we know that, you know, Xbox said, well, not Xbox didn't say this. The reports say that the next Xbox will allow Steam on there, right? And you know, Microsoft, you know, they want to maintain their image. So what if they're the ones pushing this? Like, hey, you want to have Steam on our console? Clean up your fucking act. We don't want that incest shit, you know? I like that conspiracy theory. So I'm not saying that's what's happening, but I do. But honestly, there's some other force behind this. There has to be. Absolutely. It doesn't make any other sense. And I don't think it's Collective Shout of some fucking random, you know, Karen moms in Australia can't wield this much power over fucking Visa and MasterCard. You know,
right? And it came out of the fucking left field.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
In Australia, by the way.
Australia, yeah.
In Australia, not even here.
Yeah, like you're gonna tell me some fucking kangaroo writers are behind this? I don't know, bro. I don't know about that. Hey, they're turning. Whatever. but yeah, so we'll keep an eye on this. But yeah, again, we don't typically advocate for this stuff, and not everybody in the podcast is, but me and Chris specifically telling you, yes, do what you need to do to these. I don't feel sorry for Visa and MasterCard. Fuck that. I got American Express. I'm good. I could stop using Visa and MasterCard, you know? So yeah, there you go, man. All right. Next up here, it's about Hideo Kojima. So
Hideo.
Hideo, like you. Hideo, it's Hideo Kojima. Yeah. Yo, it's Hideo.
It's my dude, Hideo.
It's my dude. So he did a recent interview with this website. I've never heard of him. Sense, but it's two S's. So it's like Sense, I guess. Very long interview. He covered a bunch of different topics. But the one we want to talk about is something we on this podcast have been saying for a hot minute, especially after Summer mm-hmm. Game Fest, you know? So this part, this is a snippet. Kojima sounds disappointed about the state of his industry. Studios are closing left and right, producing blockbusters that are too bloated and too expensive. Watching Summer Game Fest, a popular trailer marathon for gamers, I mean, that's what it is. You know,
yeah,
whoever wrote that, you are correct. That is a correct mm-hmm. editorial assessment there. Anyway, watching Summer Game Fest, a popular trailer marathon for gamers, Kojima felt like everything previewed involved fighting an alien monster or a medieval monster. Even the visuals mm-hmm. and the systems are pretty much the same. And a lot of people enjoy this. I understand, but it is important to put something really new out there in the industry. Remember we said that shit? It's like, why are you just fighting a mm-hmm. bunch of freaks? Every game is like this. We said, we did this shit live. We literally said that. Like, why are you fighting like monsters and medieval shit? Like every game.
Why is everything a dark fantasy game? Why is it some sort of a horror game?
Yeah.
You know, that's all that was. You know, it's funny. I was saying, like, I said this on Twitter. I'm like, if Kojima has a problem with what's being showcased, maybe he should talk to his buddy Jeff because he programs that show.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the show was so bad. Like, I don't know if Riku said this while he was on here last time, but he said mm-hmm. that show made him really want to stop playing games altogether. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, this is it. This is all we're getting now. You know, it's mm-hmm. I'm going to coin this term. And obviously this is one of those insider terms that only Throwdown fans will get. This is the Applebee's-ification of the games industry. You know, mm-hmm. it's just, we're just getting the same shit. So mm-hmm. I agree with Kojima. You know, by the way, he also had another fun section there because they interviewed him about a vast different things. So he apparently he went to some game studio. He was seeing, you know, some new game that was being made, and he was very upset that the game developers didn't know how to disarm a gun, like, you know, take a gun apart. And they were like, wait, yeah. And then the interviewer was like, wait, you know how to take guns apart? Like, of course I do. How do I make these games? I also learned how to kill people a bunch of different ways with a gun. I'm like, oh shit.
Well, I mean, this isn't surprising. This is to be
not
honest,
surprising. Like, yeah.
Should be surprising because all of this has been documented. Kojima, if you looked at any of the behind the scenes footage, everybody on his team, you know, from the top to even him himself, all went through military training with their military advisor. He taught them how to dismantle guns. He taught them CQC for every single time. He taught them proper, proper formations when it comes to infiltration, you know, like when it's multiple guys. And you see that in the game. So does that that shouldn't surprise anybody.
Yeah, but the thing
apparently
is,
apparently it does.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that people are surprised because, you know, most people don't do research nowadays, you know?
Well, no, they just do their little, because what was he doing? He, like, when during the production of Metal Gear Solid 2, where did he go? He went all the way over to New York. There's footage of this, you know, they went to New York, they talked to the bomb disposal company, bomb disposal department in the NYPD. They tried on Fat Man's suit, you know, the bomb disposal suit with the backing on it and everything. That's where they got those ideas, because they went and saw these fucking things.
I guarantee you the person who interviewed him doesn't know any of that.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that.
I'm sure he did.
Again, because people don't do research anymore, you know?
No, nobody looks into these things granted, you can make up the Hollywood, you could make up a game and be fine, but with the amount of detail that they even, you know, for a game that's considered anti, you know, anti-war, right?
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of research that goes into you creating the guns. I mean, the guns of the Patriot literally had a whole gun modification feature to it.
Yeah.
Right? Where you could add scopes and all kinds of crazy things to it. Same thing with MGS5.
Yeah, no, they get into depth in those games when it comes to the guns and stuff. Like, you wouldn't know that unless you do your research. Although I wouldn't be surprised if the Call of Duty guys probably do their research too, you know?
I would think that the Call of Duty guys at least to go get the, you know, have a military advisor like them. But also I would think, like, for those crazy massive teams like they have for the Call of Duty thing, they probably can't take all of those people to show them what these things are. I think maybe the core team, they could take the core team out. But Kojima took all his people out, or, you know, like airsoft, like, you know, missions and stuff like that with that advisor.
Yeah,
in fact, I posted a couple of pictures, OG pictures of him, you know, with like a military gear on, and he's got like an airsoft AK in his hand.
That's fun. Blitz says maybe the only reason Jeff gives Kojima so much airtime is not because they're friends, it's because Kojima threatened to kill him.
I wrote one guy replied to my post about that, about, you know, about like, oh, he's like, oh yeah, but, you know, you see this gun, the way he's holding this gun is all wrong, which seems weird because he had all this research. I said, remember, Kojima knows a lot of ways he could kill you.
Yeah, gotta be careful, man. Watch what you say about Kojima.
Yeah, he'll see you like the fucking boss and dismantle your gun instantly.
Yeah,
in your hand.
And obviously in a written interview you can't like read like, you know, intent. Yeah. But like the way I read it, he said it in a very nonchalant way, like, oh yeah, I know a lot of ways to kill people. Hilarious. Yeah, so shout out to Kojima. But I agree again. Mm-hmm. Obviously we agree with him. We literally said almost verbatim what he said while we were watching this show live. You know,
exactly.
We're like, what's up with all these aliens and monsters?
Yeah, he noticed the thing too. It's like, what are we doing here?
It's insane, man.
The other thing he mentioned that came from that is that he said, "No, I will not be playing Metal Gear Solid Delta."
Yeah, he did say that. Yeah. Which, what was his reason for it, Manny? Did he say?
No, he didn't give a reason. Yeah. He just said, "No, I'm not going to play it." He's like, "Why? Why would he play it?"
Yeah.
It's already done. The game. He made that game, and that game isn't really, I could tell you, it's not going to be that far from the original. It's just a really sexy, you know, cleaned up, nice version with better graphics. It's not like playing the Silent Hill remake, which, you know, Silent Hill 2 remake, which actually has a lot of changes to it. It's not like playing the other remake that came out. There was another one Resident Evil 2 remake. That game is quite a bit different, too.
Yeah.
So He's like, nah, I don't need to play it. But then again, I also think about this. What games does Kojima play? Kojima doesn't really talk about playing other games.
He watches movies.
Movies, books, and music.
Yeah.
Where does he fit games? Because I've never seen him do a top 10 games of the year.
No, yeah, he doesn't play games.
Everything sucks.
Phil Spencer plays more games. your boy Mark Cerny, we know he's a gamer. He's always getting platinums, you know?
Oh, fuck yeah. Like, if you ever look up Mark Cerny's PlayStation trophy list, that dude is a gamer.
Yeah.
Homeboy gets platinum trophies on every single game he fucking plays.
Amazing. And Shuhei Yoshida is a gamer too.
Yeah, Shuhei Yoshida's got some good ones in there. You can look all this stuff up, by the way. It's all public.
So yeah.
You can look them up their PlayStation.
Pretty good stuff. All right. And obviously, you know, this is Evo weekend. I'm very excited to check out the matches and all the other announcements. And right before the main show starts, we got a pretty big one. We got a beginner's guide to the Marvel Tokon fighting game. And I'll be honest, my brain exploded. I'm like, because, you know, basically I'm hearing all this stuff and it's not meshing with my preconceived notions. So it's just blowing me the fuck away, but in a good way, you know, like, you know, as we know, this is a 4v4 fighting game. And I was like, how the fuck are they going to make that happen? So basically it's going to be best 3 out of 5 rounds, and you get a life bar, you know, for all 4 characters. They went into so much stuff. I can't even cover it because I don't understand half of this shit. I'm like, this game is way more mechanically dense than I expected, which is great, you know. And unlike Invincible, it does have motion inputs, but, you know, it's cake and eats it too. You have, like, you know, simple attacks and stuff. Like, if you press, like, there's one button dedicated to special attacks. If you press that button with another button, you'll get like different super moves and stuff. But if you do it with the motion controls, they do more damage, you know. I believe Grand Blue Fantasy does the same thing. No surprise there, you know. Another game developed by Arc System Works, or published. Manny, do they develop that one or just publish it? Grand Blue.
Grand Blue? No, they've developed that game.
They developed that game, yeah. Because a lot of people are saying that the mechanics in this game are very reminiscent of Grand Blue. You know, even the way the buttons are laid out and stuff.
Well, Grand Blue in general is meant to be sort of like a lightweight fighting game.
Yeah.
It's a four, as I remember, that game was a 4-button fighting game. And you can do like down forward moves on it. Mm-hmm. But you can also, but all the moves are also set to buttons.
Yeah, that's how this game is. Mm-hmm. And the face buttons, the 4 buttons are light, medium, heavy, right? And then the middle one, I believe it's one of your your unique attack. Every character has a unique attack, which is another Grand Blue thing. And then the top buttons, they look like they're shortcuts. Like there's an assemble button. You can have all your characters come in. Jeffrey said, he goes, Marvel looks like it has simple controls, but that mental stack. Yeah, there's a lot of things to keep in mind and stuff. So I'm going to it's kind of cool because it's not what I expected. I thought it was going to be like Marvel versus Capcom. Oh, no, it is not. You know, not at all.
No.
So we have people, on the show floor, like the homie Jeffrey will get to play it this weekend. So I'm really curious to see what, like, people think of this game. You know, and I also like the fact that we got the announcement of the game and I was like, hey, play it, you know, and it's dropping next year. A lot of stuff going on in this game, but I'm pretty excited. I was watching Maximilian stream it. Maximilian's actually at Evo right now. He has a whole like booth set up. Like, it's like he's in a balcony, you know, and he's like kind of watching over stuff. Just watching him react. He just kept going like this. You know, like his mind was like expanding, which was hilarious. So, and I believe he just uploaded an edited version. I was watching it live. Marvel Tokon. I'm really excited to see what else they drop for this game over the weekend. So stay tuned. And I'm going to quickly throw this in here. The PlayStation Fight Stick has an official name. I believe it's called the Flex Strike. It's actually a lot cooler than I thought. We already detailed a lot of the features, you know, wireless, low profile, mechanical switches. One cool thing is it actually comes with three restrictor gates. You kind of have your standard square gate, you have an octagonal gate, and then you have a circle gate. But it's like Sony's own proprietary stuff, and you can just easily put them into the back and stuff, which is really cool. It even comes in a carrying case, which is really nice for keeping it protected. I didn't see anything about you being able to remove the joystick like you can with the Victrix Pro. But that, you know, I don't think it does that, but that's pretty cool regardless. But yeah, so this is what I think is going to happen. I think that Fight Stick and Marvel Tokon are going to release at the same time because Sony makes them both, you know? And I also have other news on that Fight Stick that I can't talk about right now. So stay tuned for that, you know? So good stuff. Again, go check out Evo. It's going to be a fun weekend for sure. I'm already seeing a lot of cool art coming out of there. Fun times. All right, and let's end the show off with a game review for me and Rich. We're going to talk about Ninja Gaiden Ragebound. We could finally talk about the game. We were kind of teasing it for a couple weeks now. The game is great, man. Like, it got announced not that long ago, if I remember correctly. Published by, I don't know, is it .emu or .dotemu? I don't know. I don't know how to say the name of the publisher.
Dotemu.
It's Dotemu, right? But yeah, they brought us Shredder's Revenge, Streets of Rage 4, you know, like they do develop games too, but they like publish a lot of these kind of more throwback games that other companies make. They make their own stuff too. And the game, I already knew I was going to like it, but it's like even better than I thought. I'm still playing it, you know, even though it's balls hard. It's just fantastic, man. So Rich, I'm gonna give the floor over to you to, you know, give us your thoughts. And obviously make sure you go over to the Coalition Gaming YouTube channel, which has his, you know, video review and obviously the coalition.com for the written review. But yeah, Rich, I'll let you take the lead and I'll just jump in.
Yes, sir. yeah, this game is awesome. So to go back to what you said, this game was actually announced at the Game Awards last year. Very, very, very quick, you know, because I know that Game Awards show was a bit, there wasn't really much to, you know, we had some complaints, but yeah, a couple of games we saw we were interested in. But yeah, so yeah, like you said, Dotemu, it is created by the Game Kitchen. They are the developers. They did the game Blasphemous. And Blasphemous 2, I haven't played either of those games, so I didn't know anything about that stuff. But no, this is a fantastic side-scroller action game. And again, I know the art style is reminiscent of the older games, the older Ninja Gaiden.
Yes.
Whether it's Ninja Gaiden or, you know, because I have to make sure of the name, because, hey, listen, people be coming after you. You know, you got to make sure you get that name.
I saw those comments. But,
oh yeah, but no, it's you know, it, like I said, when we saw the trailer, we saw it was the two characters. It was Kenji and Komori.
Yeah.
And I like I said in my review, I really like how you play as Kenji for like I think the first two levels, then you play as Komori, and then they bring them together. Because when I played the demo back in June, they had one level, which was that first level, and then they had a level later in the game when they're already together. So I like that there was more story elements. I also will say this, and I'm not going to say any spoilers because everybody obviously maybe not played it yet. I really was surprised with that prologue because that was something I did not expect in this game. Obviously, when we saw the game, we saw that it was really about Kenji and Komori. So that other individual shown in that prologue, I was very surprised by that. So, yeah, very, very, very cool. But no, like you said, Tony, the game is challenging. The guillotine, that guillotine move, that guillotine kick or jump rather, that move is very, very important. I mean, I can't stress that enough. You know, obviously, you use it earlier in the game. When you have to jump to different sections, you have to use it for the traversal, but you also can use it in combat. And as you continue playing through that game, that move is incredibly important in a lot of situations. So, the game, I do like that it does challenge you. The boss battles are very epic. That last boss battle, that final boss, That was pretty crazy.
Oh yeah, that was nuts. That was traumatizing. But yeah, I agree with that. No, that move. And again, Rich, this is one of these words. And I think this one you could just say it how you want, because you know, guillotine is a French word. So the way I typically say it is actually guillotine. But if, you know, you're American, say you can say guillotine. That's fine. But yeah, no, that move is basically you jump in the air and you press jump again and you kind of spin your blades. And like that is, you could call this game Ninja Gaiden Guillotine. Basically, like you have to use that all the time, man. This game actually reminds me of I forgot the name of the game, but it was a 2D Blood Rain game from way back in the day that was tough as fuck. As well, you know, and that game also had a specific move that you absolutely needed to get through some platforming. This game is not nearly as brutal as that, believe it or not, because even though you're going to be dying a lot, you know, you don't have like limited lives or shit like that. You immediately restart at the last checkpoint, and like at bosses, the checkpoint's almost always there, you know, which is very nice. And the one thing that really stands out to me, and you've pretty much covered a lot of the basic, Rich, but so I want to really talk about the fucking music. Holy shit. Yes. It is great. Like it is such a, like it's just 80s goodness basically, you know, like it sounds like, you know, but here's the thing. It sounds like 80s video game music, but with modern instruments. You know, it's not like, you know, beeps and bops and shit like that. It's, you know, it has a lot of Japanese influence, obviously. And like, Rich, I don't know if you agree with this, but like, I feel like every single track in this game is a banger. They're all great.
Oh, yes. I agree 100%. However, I will give a shout out to our boy, Mr. David Jagno, because I also saw that he did a review of this game as well. And he did not think the music was as good as
really
some of the original games. Now, I must admit, you know, I'm a fairly old man, so I don't remember a lot of the older games. I don't remember the music from a lot of the older games. So I don't know. But I will say, yeah, the soundtrack, it's a lot of bangers on there. No doubt about that.
Yeah. Like, again, I can't compare it to the original because I do not remember playing Ninja. I remember Ninja Gaiden, playing it, getting my ass whipped. I never made it past that first level, so I don't remember the music. But the music on its own, I'm like, I would listen to this shit separate from the game. That's how good it is, you know? Just like even that first level. By the way, and I can't say this because people are already streaming it like Max. That first level is actually a callback to the very first Ninja Gaiden game where you play as Joe Hayabusa. Like, you're literally just replaying all that. Fucking masterful stuff, man. And then, you know, obviously there's a lot of collectibles that you could go through. You could try to get the S rank. Rich, I don't know about you. I was not able to get an S rank in any fucking level.
Oh, no. No. That was impossible. And in some of those challenges, like they have a lot of those challenges, there's a stage where you're on a train where they're talking about, complete the level without falling off the train. Yeah, very difficult because, you know, you're fighting enemies. There's a lot of stuff happening. So, I'm pretty sure some people will get that S rank, but it is pretty challenging to get that.
And I got to say, the sections where you're playing as, you know, you have to, like, remove obstacles with Komori, the girl. Those sections are fucking tough where you're playing as, like, a ghost version of her. Like, that shit is crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a single Komori section aside from like the tutorial version. Because once both characters merge, they do like another kind of tutorial level. But aside from that one, I don't think I ever did one in one run. I had to do it a couple of times. The music's great. The level design is really good, very creative. This narrative, you know, it's typical Ninja Gaiden shit. Demons, got to kill them. So nothing too fancy there, but I like the way it rolls. I like the cutscenes. They're really nicely done. One thing I want to point out, because I've played this game on both PC and PlayStation 5, and there's a difference when it comes to the settings. For some reason, the PS5 version is missing the CRT filter. The PC version has a CRT filter. The PlayStation 1 doesn't, which is strange.
Uh-oh.
You know, I don't know why. My only gripe with the CRT filter, it's actually really good, but it like it tries to replicate a TV or old CRT too much because it actually like rounds the corners, like so it kind of warps the edges a bit, which doesn't look too good on like a 16:9 display. But the actual filter itself was really good. But this game looks regardless, even if you play with just the raw pixels, it looks great. Every animation is just so well done. And this is another game. Oh, go ahead, bro.
And either for you or Rich, have you guys tried this on the Steam Deck since?
Carlos, that was the first place I played it. and it's great for the Steam Deck. It looks fantastic on the Steam Deck. You know,
nice.
By the way, Carlos, I will have to ask this though. Will you accept that answer? Even though I actually played it on the Legion Go S with SteamOS. Does that count?
No, it's a halfway measure because I'm curious to see what the performance is on the actual Steam Deck, because that's the one I'll be playing it on.
Yeah, I don't think this game's gonna hit it that bad. It's a 2D side-scrolling game. I'm not gonna worry about the performance. But Carlos, I will give you an answer soon. You know,
nice.
And one thing I will piggyback off of what Tony said, it is not yet Steam Deck verified, but it runs pretty damn great. So I would be surprised if they're not going to get that verified really soon. Yeah.
But I'm like, again, I played like the first two chapters on the Legion Go S with Steam OS. I'm like, that's verified to me, you know. fantastic game. Definitely check it out. And, you know, we hinted at this earlier. Playing this game gets me even more hype for Shinobi, which you could actually play a demo of now, which I'll probably do after the show. What was it I want to bring up? There's secret levels.
Yes.
I think there's criteria for unlocking them, because when I look at the ones I unlocked, it says secret level 1, 3, 5, you know, like odd numbers. I'm like, I guess I must have, you know, you have to do something. And the game does have challenges, so maybe if you complete every challenge in a level, you could unlock the secret levels. And I also heard this game has a secret final level, which I did not unlock, probably because I'm not that good. Whoa. You know, if you look at the trophy list, it said beat the secret final level. I'm like, ooh, what's that? You know? The other thing I wanted to bring up was there's even though the game is tough, you kind of get some leeway with some of the items you could buy. Like, for example, one of them like gives you like full health when you reach a checkpoint. Another one kind of creates like a barrier around you that could like either increase your or like regain your health, or like spinning blades that kind of protect you. So there's different items you can mix and match. But if you're a masochist, there's also items you could put that hinder you. Like, you know, you could die in an instant. You get sent all the way back to the beginning of the game if you die. Mm-hmm. There's shit like that, which, you know, you could turn on if you want. And this game is brutal on its own, but when you beat the game, you unlock a hard difficulty. I'm like, that's normal's hard. What are you talking about? You know? It's just a great throwback. I was really surprised by how much I enjoyed this game. But, you know, going back to what we were talking about before, it's probably because I'm just so dissatisfied with a lot of the current state of gaming. It's just refreshing to play a game that's actually made by people who are fucking passionate. You can feel the passion they have for this game, you know? Do yourself a favor. And Rich, it's not expensive either, I believe. It's very affordable.
Oh, yeah. This game is $25.
There you go.
So if there's somebody that is going out to spend $80 on a game, I think they got more than enough to purchase this game.
Yeah. So go check it out. And Rich, I did check it out. Yes, it is actually, in fact, Guillotine.
Oh, that's it. Okay, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, it's crazy, but no one's going to give you shit about that. So don't worry about it. You know, they don't know how to say it correctly, but they will give you shit about guiding, you know,
absolutely.
They will give you shit about that. Go check that game out and go play Shinobi. What's up, Carlos? You got another question?
Guillotine,
Guillemont, you know,
Dagenau, all the French words.
Oh, wait, that's what I forgot. Cause when I beat the game, I think I just told Rich, yo, Carlos, get ready, man. I beat Ninja Gaiden. Say it. No, you didn't say your usual. You didn't say your usual.
Oh,
Yeah.
Okay, rewind.
Yep. Do it again. Yep. Yo, I beat Ninja Gaiden.
Hey, Tony.
Yo.
Game of the year?
There you go. yeah. You know what? I may have to put it in the top four by the end of the year. Nice. Look at that. Yeah, that's our insider joke. Every time I beat a game, game of the year. Carlos, every time. Game of the year. It's hilarious. I'm actually on a pretty good roll lately, man. Let me tell you what I've beaten this year, bruh. Because at first I was like, yo, this year is going to end up with me not playing any games. So far this year, I've beaten Monster Hunter Wilds, Fatal Fury, Doom of Dark Ages. I'm going to count Capcom Fighting Collection. I beat all those fucking games. Mario Kart World, I got the credits, so I technically beat the game. Death Stranding 2, Donkey Kong Bonanza, and now Ninja Gaiden Ragebound. So your boy is on a good roll, you know? Give me Shinobi looks so fucking good, man. Oh, Metal Gear, you already know that's coming. And again, I'll still begrudgingly play Ghost of Yote. Ninja Gaiden 4 is coming out soon. Wait, is it soon? I thought it was next year.
October.
Excuse me? Oh,
yeah.
Rich, this is the year of the ninja.
And yes, it's funny you say that because that is exactly the marketing that Koei has been doing, because they had the Ninja Gaiden Black game that came out earlier this year, then this game, and now this the upcoming game. So there it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Rich, this is what I want, and I don't know if they made any official statement about this. I would love if we get both 3D Ninja Gaiden and 2D Ninja Gaiden. That would be so awesome.
Oh, you mean what, in this upcoming game? Well, you
like,
mean
like in moving forward, you know?
Well, you know, it's funny you say this, Tony. There was no confirmation, but I think I'm pretty sure you may think the same thing. Based on how this game ends, it feels like they can revisit this another chapter later. So that, we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully, obviously, I guess it has to do well. But I think the way they set up that ending, I think they definitely can make another game.
Yeah, because again, I'm thinking about the little girl meme. Why not both? You know, I mean, even Nintendo's like, yo, we want to have 3D and 2D Donkey Kong. Let's go. So why not 2D and 3D Ninja Gaiden? So yeah, go check the game. I got auto with it, Kuessa. I got auto mount moded. I don't know what the fuck that means. Anyway, he might be drunk. hey, he has listened to us drunk before. I got auto modded. Oh, did you? Did you say some bullshit, bro? What did you say, Kuel? You can't say because you're gonna get auto modded again. Oh man, don't say anything crazy in the chat, bro. You know, you know what the limits are in this world we live in. Anyway, let's start wrapping things up here. Manny, I know you got some exciting stuff happening soon. Tell it to people.
Yes, sir. So, just announced was the TMNT Journeys number 2 cover, which is coming out this October. That is a cover with the Casey Jones. What that is a reprint of a book by Peter Laird. So it's going to be a fun trip on that one. Also, I'm sure a lot of people are very surprised to see that. We also got what is it? What has been announced? But you know, I can't exactly remember. Just know there's a bunch of nostalgia stuff. But I also have the cover to Power Rangers number 9, which is the Power Rangers Prime number 9, which is coming out the 6th. So hopefully you go out to your local store, wherever you get comics, you can pick that one up. I illustrated that. And there's MGS Con, which is going to be happening on the 23rd of August. At the Ontario Convention Center in California, not Canada. I'll be there, with a bunch of really cool stuff. I resurrected the old Solid Zero Subsistence book. It's got a sexy new belly band on it, that's exclusive, and as well as a really cool Big Boss T-shirts that these are all exclusive. So if you're out there, that is the to get it. Yes, and also. Coming later on this year, which I had got the for that New York Comic Con.
Let's go, finally, motherfuckers.
ELO is back at New York Comic Con. So I'm going to be doing that too. Yeah. So I'm going to be doing the show. I'm not going to go into detail exactly what's going on that one because I don't want to overshadow what I'm going to be doing at MGS Con. So yeah, you know, I'm going to be there. So if you're up in New York or if you're traveling up to New York, I will be there. There's all kinds of good stuff.
No, you just gave me a reason to go back to Comic Con. I didn't go last year. I was like, Manny's not going to be there. Where the fuck should I go? You know, Barry Burton, I know you'll be there despite what you say.
He'll be there. Yeah. He'll be like, he's like, I'm not even supposed to be here.
He'll be there. So Quell says that when he said Ninja Gaiden 4, I got Automata. No, it didn't. I see it right there. Ninja Gaiden 4 is coming soon, unless you said something else, you know, you naughty boy. But it says it right there. Ninja Gaiden 4 is coming. You did say that. Stop drinking while you're listening to the show, man. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this weekend?
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to give a quick shout out to Mr. Adam Vale, because I do want to mention TV Terminal first and foremost. He does have a couple of reviews that he will be posting. Revival, Dexter, and another show. The other show, I'll let him announce that show, talk about that more. But stay tuned. That'll be up this weekend. As for the Coalition, I'm working on a couple of different things for next week. It is August right now because, and there's a lot happening in August aside from all these games coming out. You know, I'm actually going to PAX West at the end of this month. Gamescom is also coming up. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. But I will say, if you are on the Coalition Gaming channel, there actually is a poll that I put up for stuff that we're going to cover next month. So definitely check out that poll and vote, because it looks like Shinobi is the game most requested. People want to see a lot of coverage on. So obviously, yeah, we will do that. But yeah, but stay tuned. A lot of stuff in the works.
Yeah. Oh, he got auto modded by the initials NG4. Yeah, I guess I could see why. Oh, yeah, I got to be careful there.
It's too close to M4G and that trash.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You know. Oh man, it's like I can't say it's a joke because I'll tell you off here. I'll probably get in trouble. Even though it happened on television. Let's start wrapping it up here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. And check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez. Manny, you want to wrap it up?
Made it.
They just stayed quiet. What the fuck? We're doing the outro. Where's the energy, motherfucker?
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Hey, take care, everyone. Should I?
All right, we're just going to end the show now. Nobody gets the intro. Manny fucked it up for everybody, man. We'll see you next time. Later.